Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up this hour, we'll head to Salisbury to meet a boxing coach who's been training champions and working to keep local kids off the streets. Plus, we'll check out a new Rehoboth Beach exhibit that explores the role art can play in helping us recover from trauma. First, though, we're going to check in with my colleague Matt Bush. He's the Maryland reporter for WAMU 88.5 News in Washington. He's been keeping tabs for months on all the politicking in Annapolis, and now that this year's legislative session has wrapped, he joins us to talk about the bills that passed and how they'll affect residents here on the Eastern Shore. Matt, welcome back to the program.
Always a pleasure.
So another legislative session is in the books, and at first glance, this session definitely seems like a big win for Governor Martin O'Malley and his supporters. But before we look at, I guess, the big picture of it, let's highlight some of the bills that did pass. You know, you look at gun control, you look at offshore wind, the first gas tax in 20 years, death penalty repeal. Do you think there's one bill that people are going to remember this session for the most?
Well, there's two bills, I think, that will have legacies that will extend for a while. One will be the gun control bill, and I think that will be what most people remember for the next year or two, mostly because gun control has become not just a big issue in Maryland, but also nationally right now. And the fact that Maryland was able to push something that other states could not, and the licensing requirement that people who now want to buy handguns will have to give fingerprints, that's something that no other state has done in two decades, really, since the NRA has come and become such a political power. So I think for the next couple of years, that bill will be the one most people remember from this session. After that, it will be the gas tax bill. If these gas tax increases, one, hurt businesses in the state and keep residents from wanting to stay in the state or move here, but two, if these monies end up building these mass transit projects that supporters say they will, and if that ends up increasing the quality of life in the state and ends up particularly in the D.C. suburbs, ending the massive traffic gridlock that is there, then that's what will be remembered most 10, 15 to 20 years from now. So there'll be two bills here. I think those two are without question the ones that people will remember most. There are other things that will be discussed, I'm sure, but not to the level that gun control and gas taxes will be.
Right. And that's the sense I get here on the Eastern Shore. You know, people here, a lot of avid hunters and obviously people that have a vested interest in tourism. You know, so those two issues people are very concerned about. Let's stick on the gas tax for a second. You know, as we move closer to the summer season, it always seems that gas prices become a huge issue. Moving forward, I mean, how much do you think that gas tax is going to really play a part in how far people are going to travel for their vacation?
Well, this summer, when it first goes into effect, it's going to be about 5 cents per gallon. And the supporters, when they were pushing this, particularly the ones in Montgomery County, say gas taxes or gas prices fluctuate so much that they thought something like a nickel, people probably weren't going to realize that much. Now, once the whole tax goes through, there's the increase this year. Then in 2014, there will be no increase in gas taxes. The official line from the supporters of the bill was they didn't want to disturb the economic recovery, though most others pointed to the fact that next year is a statewide election year, and never popular to raise taxes in election year. And then after that, in the 2 years past that, then the full level of the tax will go in. That's not just the tax, again, that is on the per gallon rate, which will actually rise with inflation each year. Then there's also the sales tax that will be implemented on the wholesale price of gasoline. So it could go up about 20 cents per gallon will be the final tally if the full tax is implemented. There are also some things that might keep the sales tax on the wholesale price down. If Congress ends up enacting or allowing states to charge sales tax on internet sales, something that states have been seeking for a long time, if that ends up being passed by Congress, then the sales tax on the wholesale price of gasoline won't fully go into effect as it would right now, but that's still a few years off. But say the entire tax goes into effect, it'll be about 20 cents a gallon. Now, that would be over 4 years that it would rise up to that level, so it depends on how long the public's memory is about this, to see what the lasting impact will be on people, whether it will stop them from traveling or not. Obviously, on Ocean City and out on the shore and on all the beach towns and all that, tourism is their industry. And when gas prices started to go up, you know, that made Ocean City in many ways more attractive to the people that were in D.C. and Baltimore's, that they, you know, it was easier to get to than taking a longer trip to somewhere else. You know, you just go to the shore, it was only a couple hours away, and the tourism people there really were able to feed into that. So it could help or hurt them, because it'll cost more to drive, but at the same time, if it costs more to drive, then people might want to stay closer so that they don't have to spend as much money when they do travel.
You know, I always find it interesting in legislative sessions anywhere in the country, you know, you have these big marquee bills that get all the headlines. But towards the end of the session, I always find it very interesting, the bills that pass in the 11th hour or the ones that fail in the 11th hour. You know, talk about some of those. I know that there are some things that took place earlier this week at, you know, 5 minutes left, an hour left in the session that may, you know, have snuck between the lines of people's, you know, perceptions of what happened this session. Are there any bills that stick out in your mind?
Well, medical marijuana, the Senate on the last day gave final approval to setting up the centers that will distribute them. They'll be at academic research facilities. The only two that really I think will get involved with this will be the University of Maryland and Johns Hopkins University. Also, they probably won't start distributing marijuana until about 2016, should they ever get into it. Again, the state's law right now puts it at odds with the federal government, and the O'Malley administration said they would not sign this unless they were allowed to suspend the program if the federal government said we were going to start arresting state employees for distributing medical marijuana. So that got in, but there's no real sense of when any of that might come through. It's sort of like the wind bill. It's there should people be able to, or sort of the either the culture or the business models of things go to it, then it will be there for them to be able to do. The cell phone law, the law right now, if you're driving and talking on a cell phone, is that it's a secondary offense, meaning the police have to pull you over for something else, and then they can cite you for talking on a cell phone. It's now a primary offense, so police can pull you over specifically for that. Now, if you're in your car stopped or parked, you can still talk on the phone in the car if you're the driver, but now police can pull you over specifically for it if they see you driving and talking at the same time. A few other things that didn't get through in the last day. The biggest one was the pit bull bill. If there's any losers really in the session, it is pit bull owners. This is the third time lawmakers have been in session in Annapolis since that ruling last year that deemed pit bulls an inherently dangerous breed of dog that puts their owners and landlords who rent to them far more liable in court. This is the third time legislators were in session, and they still were not able to pass anything. The Senate ended up passing a compromise bill, but the House refused to vote on it. Really comes down to a fight between two legislators, Brian Frosch, the Montgomery County Democratic Senator, and Louis Simmons, a Montgomery County Democratic delegate. They supposedly had a compromise earlier in the session. That fell apart. Simmons said that Frosch lied to him and went really back and forth. For something like this, it became pretty ugly between two politicians from the same party in the same county. One thing that did get voted on 5 minutes before the House adjourned for the year was a bill that will offer tax credits now to people who have bushels of oyster shells if they're recycling them. So that was one of the last pieces of legislation that was passed on the last day. In fact, that was special ordered or held three separate times that day while they continued to try to work out some sort of compromise on that. So 5 minutes before, both chambers were able to pass that bill. So that was one of the ones that got in right before the deadline, right before the confetti and the balloons dropped in both chambers.
Wow. Well, you know, people here on the Eastern Shore will certainly be stockpiling their bushels of oyster shells from now on.
Yes.
You know, as you look at this session as a whole, you know, many people, you know, now that it's over, are looking at this, you know, as a collective body of work and saying that, you know, what the governor accomplished this year, you know, really points to a very substantial leftward shift for the entire state of Maryland. You know, so what does this tell you? I mean, does this legislative session suggest an even larger shift to the left than what, you know, conservatives already say is a very, very blue state?
Depends on who says. I think most people would agree this was a very liberal progressive, whichever term you would like to use. Now, the governor, when he was asked this question on the final day, does this mean you and Maryland are now more liberal? This was his response.
I don't care. Call me anything but late for dinner. I mean, the real test is, are we making progress or are we not making progress? And I consider myself a performance-driven progressive, if you will.
Now, the governor wasn't really running from either the term liberal or progressive during this, but He was certainly obviously backing all the things he got passed. And as the session wound down and on the last day we were researching this, every bill the governor proposed or his administration proposed this year was passed. Now, that initially started at 30 bills. Some of them are cross-filed, meaning that, like, for example, the gun control bill, he filed. They had bills for both chambers. And one of those, whichever chamber took it up first, that bill was the one that advanced. So there were similar bills. But there were 30 that all he started out with, and every one of them was passed. So for him, he batted 1,000 this year.
Why was he so successful, do you think? Because, you know, obviously the numbers have been in his favor for you know, the past several years. But, you know, in recent years, there was such a harsh, bitter tone and a battle very publicly between the two sides of the aisle. This one seemed to end rather smoothly. And yet, as you said, he ended up batting 1,000.
The Senate President Mike Miller, who most people I think might be the most powerful politician in the state, said that Governor O'Malley was far more involved in getting his package, his legislative package passed this year, as opposed to the prior year. Now, O'Malley said was as involved this year as he has been in any other years. Now, to compare the end of last year's regular session and this year's regular session, last year ended, they didn't have the budget completed because of the fight over expanded gambling that ended up being approved the second of two special sessions, because they had to call the first one just to finish the budget, and then the voters in the fall okayed it. So this year, that issue really seemed to be the one that was really holding things up. And Senate President Miller, that was really a pet project of his. He wanted that casino at National Harbor in Prince George's County. That was sort of off the books, and in many ways, this could have been some payback for the governor of calling both of those special sessions just really to fix an issue that Miller wanted so badly. But the governor said he was doing things he always maybe normally did. The end of it is that certainly the governor had he had a perfect year, pretty much. Some of the changes were made to the bills, but everything he wanted, he got this year. And for him, he's not going to get a whole lot next year. No one's going to get a whole lot next year in this election year. It's probably going to be a very quiet session. So for Governor O'Malley, this was pretty much he got. This will be his last chance this session to leave his legacy on the state.
Right. We've been speaking with Matt Bush. He's the mail-in reporter for WMU 88.5 News in Washington. Matt, always good talking to you, and thanks for being here on Coastal Connection.
Always a pleasure, Brian. Thanks.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. I'm Brian Russo.